My presentation is on New Jersey utilizing a dedicated helpline for its H1N1 providers. Just to give you a quick background, the New Jersey State Department of Health and Senior Services first operationalized its Emergency Communication Center in 2003. Funding was provided by CDC through a BT cooperative agreement. Initial one-time startup cost for setup and installation was $13,000, and a yearly maintenance cost for 30 phone lines was approximately $9,000. Since it became operational, ECC was used for several times, with the most recent being the H1N1 epi response in the spring and the H1N1 vaccine response this past fall. During this vaccine response, the NJDHSS referred to the ECC as the H1N1 vaccine information line because we did not want to portray panic or a state of emergency. Well, why did NJDHSS activate the helpline? There were several reasons. First, because this was the first real mass immunization effort that our public health partners were participating in. The H1N1 vaccine system, we needed a system in place quickly, and so DHSS mobilized its resources and developed the H1N1 vaccine system on our immunization registry platform. With this new system, we anticipated system-related calls, because registration was a multi-step process and navigating through the portal was challenging, especially for those providers who have never used our registry before. This resulted in significant call volumes for providers. The average call duration was between 10 to 15 minutes, which became overwhelming for program staff and thus created the need for the helpline. In prior situations, the ECC handled both public and provider calls. Anticipating the high call volume, DHSS activated one of its medical coordination centers, which falls under the Division of Emergency Preparedness and Response to handle all public and non-system related calls. The ECC is operated out of the Communicable Disease Service, which houses the EPIs and the Vaccine Preventable Disease Program. The staff in the MCC were specifically trained to handle public calls. They were given updated FAQs regularly and that addressed the public's needs, and they actually received over 33,000 phone calls and the ECC received over 14,000 calls. So had we not operated two helplines, the H1N1 helpline would have been overwhelmed. Initially, most of the calls that we received were regarding the registration process and navigating through the system. The providers found it very challenging. I'll walk you through the registration process in the next slide. This is a screenshot of our H1N1 vaccine system portal homepage. On your left is our menu options. Providers who are interested in receiving H1N1 vaccine had to register under provider site registration, had to register their sites. Then next, the local health department reviewed the provider registration forms and approved providers as either ship-to sites or vaccinator sites. NJDHSS made the final approval. The turnaround time between the local health department approving and the state approving could be anywhere between 24 to 48 hours. Sometimes it was more, depending on if information was missing. Once the state approved, an email was sent to the providers with their ship to or vaccinator site status, along with a username and password. Then the providers had to register under user registration, right here, under user registration, and register all those that would be utilizing the system. So this was confusing for the providers, especially because they thought once you registered to become an H1N1 provider, they had full access to the system. But that was not the case. They actually had to go through user registration, register each user, and then they had specific accesses to either the vaccine order page or the record patient vaccination page. As you know, ship-to sites were able to directly order vaccines and also administer vaccines, so they were given access to the vaccine order page and the record patient vaccination page. With the vaccinator sites, since they were only administering vaccines and were receiving vaccines from the ship-to sites, they had access to only the record patient vaccination page. So NJDHSS did develop a system that captured all the functions necessary for this vaccine effort. However, providers still found it very confusing. To remedy this confusion, DHS has provided a multi-pronged approach to provider education in that we provided 115 training webinars, over 30 provider FAQs, we created online tutorials and video clips, we provided updates through our New Jersey Health Alert Network, and also posted updates on our H1N1 vaccine system bulletin board. But in the end, one-on-one with the helpline staffs proved to be best. Staffing for the helpline was initially pulled from department-wide, especially because we were limited in staffing in our vaccine preventable disease program. Because the various program staff could not afford to lend their staff out for a long period of time, staff changed on a daily basis, making training inconsistent and difficult and challenging to respond to provider needs. But by mid-October, we were able to hire 8 dedicated staff to operate the helpline. The staff training was initially done on the H1N1 vaccine system test site. They were given provider FAQs again regularly. They were briefed daily in the mornings, and also whenever there was updates to any enhancements to the systems, they were also shown all the updates. When it came to tracking inbound calls, DHSS utilized a paper log system, which was timely and simple, but it had many limitations. In November, the IT department hired 4 professional help desk staff to work the helpline. Once they came on board, NJDHSS integrated an e-tracking system called TrackIt into the operation of the helpline. Although it was time-consuming, TrackIt provided us with many benefits. It allowed us to view our inbound calls by type, category, and subtype, along with improving our reporting capabilities. In the next few slides, I will present some of the data that was gathered from the TrackIt software. This slide illustrates the weekly call volume from September 17, 2009 to April 2, 2010. The y-axis shows the number of inbound calls, and the x-axis shows the week ending. We activated the helpline on September 17th, so majority of the calls around this time were just about registration. How do we register? Who can register? Do we need, what kind of information do we need to register, and so forth. During the months of October and November, calls were initially regarding vaccine ordering and inventory management. But as you know, the H1N1 vaccine became available in October, in early October. However, there were also distribution issues. Our orders continued to come through our system. By the time CDC notified the state that there was a distribution delay, we continued receiving those orders. So this created a backlog in our vaccine system. So majority of October and November, we were trying to backfill all of the vaccine orders. Around this time, we also had ancillary kit issues. A lot of providers were calling in saying that they didn't receive their vaccine, their ancillary supply, or if the needle size did not match the product that they received. So we were dealing with those issues. In December, we had enough vaccine. However, we had minimal demand for it. The calls then just continued to start declining. And then come January, calls were very minimal. Majority of them were regarding the vaccine recall and what to do with our unused expired vaccines. This next slide illustrates the call volume by provider type from September 17th to March 30th. The helpline received a total of 14,300 phone calls. The 45% of our call volume came from physicians, which is represented here in the aqua color. Interesting, the majority of the vaccines that were ordered and used were also by physicians. Vaccines ordered and used in the community were by physicians. 18% of them were from other healthcare providers such as OBGYN offices, and then next local health departments at 16%. The 5% you see here for public calls, they were redirected to the MCC so they can handle the public phone calls. Again, like the majority of the phone calls that we did receive were regarding order management and inventory management. So the helpline proved to have many strengths. New Jersey was one of the first few states to implement a provider helpline for managing the H1N1 vaccine process. We hired a dedicated staff. The helpline provided one-on-one training for all callers. They were able to assist with various processes, including vaccine ordering, doses administered, how to fill out temperature logs, etc. The staff was knowledgeable and resourceful, and as processes continued to evolve, even when they did not know an answer, they knew where to obtain the information and get back to the provider in a timely manner. The helpline also provided real-time feedback, which improved the usage and helped identify problems with the H1N1 vaccine system and the registry. This couldn't have been more timely, as New Jersey just adopted a regulation where by December 31st, 2011, all physicians who administer vaccines to children under 7 years of age will be mandated to enter that information into the registry. So this feedback provided from the helpline will provide us an opportunity to address and resolve the registry issues well in advance of next year's deadline. Some of the challenges that we faced included a delay in identifying dedicated staff, which hindered our earlier activities, providing clear communication because of the constantly evolving nature of vaccine ordering, vaccine distribution, delivery, and availability. This also affected our training our staff because we couldn't keep them up to date with all the information and brought them up to speed. There were many lessons that we learned, but most importantly, we recognized the importance of identifying and training a dedicated staff earlier in the response. We also need to provide cross-training to staff and program during downtime, so not just our H1N1 vaccine system, but all systems in general, so when there is an emergency, we're able to pick up and move forward. And last but not least, we should have a system in place that is flexible and adaptable in coordinating mass immunizations or emergency preparedness events. Our system, because we use an existing platform, we had to build a system around it, and so that created a lot of confusion for our providers in navigating and so forth. As we move forward, DHSS will continue to use the helpline during large-scale public health responses, and also will establish a well-defined process to enable our program to effectively communicate with our targeted population. I just wanted to thank all of my colleagues that made this New Jersey's H1N1 vaccine response a success, and I wanted to thank you for your thank you for listening.
Great. Thank you to all our speakers for sharing their valuable experiences. We'll start taking questions if you want to come up to the microphone. And in the meanwhile, maybe I'll start with a question for Jenny. Do you know, you've probably collected a lot of valuable information about a lot of providers in the state. Do you have plans for trying to utilize that information and the, you know, collaborations you've established for other projects? I know you're going to use it for future emergencies, but...
We have all of this data, and eventually we will be able to utilize it with other systems going forward, just being able to identify a lot of the providers. Now we have a list of all the providers in the state of New Jersey, although before we had to go through different, the AAP or the AAFP, so now we have a database that has all that information, so.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll take our first question here.
Hi, I'm Louise Rice from the Cambridge, Massachusetts Public Health Department, and I have the questions for Dr. Zahn. It was a very impressive number of people that you were able to vaccinate, and I was interested in knowing a little bit about how you managed the data from that, because you also presented such clear information on risk factors of those people you vaccinated. Who crunched all that data for you? And you had 19,000.
Yeah. Stimulus funds are a wonderful thing. From our side, we had some funds that we hadn't used all of it, and we thought it was worthwhile to hire line staff to enter all that into a database. It was extremely time consuming. It's Stone Age kind of work. Honestly, in terms of doing it, we'd be much better off having some more process of real time data entry, but it's also been extremely valuable to us. So our Epi department came up with a database, and we've had people entering in for a couple of months, and that's that's how we got it. So looking back, I wish we had recorded a little more information on, are you a medical provider under 6 months, you know, all of that, and the time frame didn't happen, but we were able to get some good data out of it for sure.
Did you have any trouble with forms, incomplete forms, poorly filled out forms?
Well, sure. You know, yeah, absolutely. Although, yes, I will say that in terms of our looking at addresses, we were thinking we were going to have a huge problem with that. When we GIS this stuff, we were able to get about 97% of them identified, you know, GIS identified without us having to go individually, as you can map them, which was way better than we thought we were going to be able to do. So, yeah, I think a big success of this was data evaluation from this.
Thank you.
Hi. I don't have a question, just to compliment Donna Lazoric and our team in Massachusetts, who have done a tremendous job with the H1, N1, and seasonal. Congratulations to your team. It was well covered in the Boston Globe. One of the things to share with the rest of the audience over here is they brought the immunization level at least to the threshold so that the herd immunity can kick in, because beyond, if it is lower than that, even those who are left will not be able to sort of participate in the herd immunity. So they brought it at least to that level and beyond, and congratulations to your whole team. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dorothy McCall from New Jersey. How are you, Suchet? Just to answer your question and to just to expand on what Jenny has said in terms of us getting providers' databases, that for two positive things is that it introduced the VFC program to some of the providers who did not know about the program, so it was an opportunity for them to learn. And we actually had providers who wrote to us and said, after the H1N1, I'm very much interested in the VFC. And secondly, it gives us a database to market to those providers that we were not aware of, so that they can use the system and be ready to provide them with education and get them trained by 2010. Good job, Jenny. Okay.
Great. Thank you, Dorothy. I had a question for you, Donna and Marianne. I know you said you're in talks and sort of contemplating how the next season will evolve with billing. I was wondering if that would sort of mirror your H1N1, so you would do it in the public clinics or everywhere, have you know, all sorts of non-traditional providers and settings represented also. Is that the thought?
Yes, it is. And what we would like, is this on? And we would like to, we'd like to expand what was done in the schools as well.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Okay, I have to read you something, so try to hang on for just 1 second. Thanks again to all our speakers. Please give them a warm hand. Thank you.